Lovely.
Steve.
So as you may hear, we were talking a lot last night and our voices have gone down maybe a whole tone.
Yeah. We've had some very good voices on this tour, but tonight we stayed up late and we talked loud and sang Oasis at the end of the night. Yeah.
But we sound really hot.
We do, yeah. Hotter.
I quite like it.
Hotter than normal.
We sound like really serious and...
slow hot.
Brooding. We got the Batman thing going on.
Yeah,
maybe that's why Batman has a voice like he does. He was up all night singing Oasis.
He's a massive Oasis fan.
Alfred, get the Batmobile.
Alfred, get Noel on the phone.
get the Oasis brothers back together.
Anyway, mate, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 263 of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself and Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I'm a fire that you can't put out, as this is my own personal wonderland where I literally get too close to comfort with some of my favourite musicians.
I'm trying my best not to get upset. This week's guests are the super team, two of the mighty McFly and one of the devastatingly great Lost Alone.
So I'm literally screaming in fangirl here. Listen, I've poured my heart out to death on here about how much McFly mean to me, being the gateway to my life of emo and soundtracking growing up, as even on 0.5% of their fans on Spotify Wrapped. So there we are. And take Stephen that. Vital and Lost Alone have been great friends to us in so many ways over the years, all being on their own episodes, all telling their own stories. But the one common theme is that their excitement around this songwriting and producing collective they have formed together called SideQuest. It's a new musical outlet where they're working with other artists. Danny is producing, they're getting involved with artists from all different subgenres and everything. And we thought it would be the perfect opportunity while they were touring together to sit down and have a unique conversation about everything going on, how this happened, and just the magic of music behind the scenes.
We were both originally destined to go.
Mm. And then what happened?
I got real ill. Real fucking ill. Like proper in bed for 3-4 days ill. It was awful. I had the mega cold, or as it's probably actually called, COVID, I'd imagine. Because it was pretty bad. It was the worst cold I've ever had post having COVID, and my COVID cold was real bad. So yeah, sadly I couldn't make it. I am gutted I couldn't be there because you had a great time. It was lovely to see you get into Livia McFly fan dreams and have photos behind the drum kit. That was nice.
Yeah, literally. I sent a little bit of jealousy there because in the intro, you didn't introduce me as my good friend Morgan Richards like you're doing everything. You just went straight Morgan Richards. So a little bit, yeah, little bit of resentment is there.
Yep, there is. Sorry about
but
that.
But yeah, I had such a wonderful day, not to rub it in, but literally.
You are rubbing it in.
As he alluded to, and I'll tell more stories after this, but I got to have photos behind Harry's drum kit, and there was a bit where I was filming some stuff and like, oh my God, this is like crazy. And I looked at my left and Harry Judd is just standing there with his arms crossed like,
uh-oh,
what are you doing? I didn't touch anything. I didn't touch a single thing. But honestly, McFly Lost Alone and that whole touring party just made me feel such a home and had some brilliant moments throughout. I did this backstage at the last day of the Power to Play tour in Nottingham. And throughout this conversation, we're just going to have a unique insight into all their own different perspectives on writing, the very different elements of McFly versus Lost Alone. Of course, they work together on McFly's latest album, Power to Play, and just like kind of what they kind of get from this collection now and seeing the artists they've worked with finally putting out music and the likes of Noah Fint and so much more. So yeah, it's a very unique treat and I'm very lucky and very pleased that we were able to do this. So shout out to James Hill, one of our Patreon and member of the McFly team for making this happen as well. He really looked after me that day, so I do appreciate it. But before we go into everything, Sean, I know you've been ill, but you've also been busy behind the scenes, and I believe there is news that is being announced today that you want to share with people.
If I say it now, this is going to come out at 12 o'clock midnight, isn't it, technically? So there's 10 hours before the actual announcement.
That's true.
So yeah, the Black are announcing at 10 a.m. today. Opening supports for the tour are going to be announced. So go to at the Blackout on Twitter, at Blackout Music on Instagram, at 10 a.m. GMT. That's Great Manchester time. No, it's not. yes, it's something Meridian time. I can't remember. Greenwich Meridian time. Anyway, UK, 10 a.m. Fucking hell, I'm on a stroke. 10 a.m. UK, the Blackout are announcing who their opening supports are for our tour in February. Please go and check it out. I want to say a massive thank you to everybody who got a ticket for December the 30th, the Christmas New Year, and Sean's finally 21 birthday party that's happening in Merthyr Tydfil. Thank you if you got a ticket. If you didn't get a ticket, also, we've recently announced we're doing Slam Dunk Festival, where we'll be playing our album, The Best in Town, in full. So go to theblackoutband.com for all your Blackout needs, tickets, T-shirts, merch. I think we still have 25% off on whatever merch is left at our store. And you are right, I have been doing a fuck ton behind the scenes. Too much, some people are saying. I've turned into Donald Trump. Some people are saying. Oh, that's the worst Donald Trump impression that's ever been done by. Some people are saying. Yeah, my Arnie Trump is better than my Trump. Yeah, some people are saying that, I don't even know what some people are saying anymore. But yes, check out theblackoutband.com. I am doing too much fucking work. That's what it was. Jesus Christ, my brain is all over the place because I'm doing too much work. I've taken on work that some people would be paid tens of thousands of pounds for.
As Fallout Boy would say, is this more than you bargained for yet? The answer is yes.
Yes, it was. I thought, how hard can it be? I want to do five shows with my friends next year around the UK. Can we sort that out? Yeah, you can, yeah. All right, Sean, you've got to be social media manager. You've got to fucking be art designer. You've got to be booking agent. Now I've got to be a lawyer. I found out I've got to make contracts for the gigs so we can get insurance. We need insurance. I'm going to turn up. Oh, bro, it's so many fucking jobs. Anyway, let's move. Like, I don't mind doing it for other bands, I'm getting paid. Like, I'm doing it with Future History. It's class. I love doing all the stuff for them. My own band, I'm like, it should be fucking piece of piss. It's not. I'm laughing because I'm going to cry.
Exactly. Let's move on before you actually break into tears.
Please, quick!
Head over to patreon.com/sapnin for the first look, exclusive on news, bonus content, everything we're doing behind the scenes. Share this episode in your Instagram stories and on the app formerly known as Twitter, @sapninpod. But yes, let's get into this very unique and special look into songwriting, tour life, and some beautiful bastards that are Danny Jones, Dougie Pointer, and Stephen Patel on episode 263 of Sapnin Podcast.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this one because I wasn't fucking here, so it'd be nice to actually... Ooh, that's always said, but yeah. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
That might be the most aggressive one I've done so far.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
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 Hey! So, listeners to this will know that this is a real treat for me. I'm joined right now by Mr. Stephen Patel, Dougie Pointer, and Danny Jones.
Hi.
All right.
Hello, friends.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. This is the backstage at the last night on the Power to Play tour with Lost Alone as McFly's support.
Yeah, it's a day of happiness for me that this has been genuinely one of my favorite tours ever, and huge sadness that it is over tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a feeling probably shared by everybody. Like,
yeah, I'm crying because it happened, not because it's over.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah.
You thought it was a negative thing then, didn't you?
I did for me. I was like, hold on, I'm crying because it happened.
If you flip that saying, don't cry because it's over. Cry. Yeah. But if you go, I'm crying because it's happened.
I'm crying because it fucking happened. Yeah. It's awful.
It's the way, because your voice is husky today, it felt negative.
It was
positive.
I know. I hope people don't think that this is our normal tone.
We're post Morning Glory, Oasis singing. Mm. This is not tour voice. This is one night of
Oasis catching up.
For me and Steve, this is one beer and a lot of chat. Yeah. Like, this is what you get nowadays.
I was given wine and 7-Up, which I've not experienced before.
As a spritz.
Is that what that is?
Kind of.
Okay. And then I was given a red thing that tasted like a Jolly Rancher sweets. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
And then I moved on to Doug's non-alcoholic cocktails that he made, which were incredible.
We've been having them. Literally
incredible.
Oh. Yeah. They're actually better than that drinking drinks. You're drinking a drink, but I mean, I'll rephrase that. They're better than alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Better than water, better than Coke. Like, it's just better than drinking. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's good for you. It's like, oh, I don't know, something about it.
Mm. So, by the way, getting Doug that hit, mixes it as well.
Yeah.
So, what's the secret behind all that then, Doug?
Doug's hands. It's just the way it is. Yeah,
just magic.
A lot of practice. And I guess the secret is trying to make some kind of kick so that it within the drink to slow you down. Otherwise, it's just a nice juice with like lots of sugar and stuff. So, yeah, trying to get the balance right.
Yeah, well, as someone who I don't drink, right? I've never had any alcoholic drink ever.
Wow!
So I like the idea that you've prepared all this.
Yeah, then the backstage bar has grown on this tour as we've gone on. I've collected different spirits and mixers and stuff.
Oh, interesting!
It is cool.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, this whole tour is being a long one for you guys in many ways. Where I was at the first night in Bristol. This is the last time.
I saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you in the crowd. Yeah.
I did think because it was so busy that I had to stand like on the stairs thing. So yeah. I did wonder like if I would catch you. Like,
yeah, Nick, you did. Yeah.
James Hill got a very good but embarrassing video of me singing along to Everybody Knows as well. That I had to post to everyone. Everyone's just been taking the piss out of me for it. But I
love that.
No, it's good, man. It's a good time.
Love that.
But how has it been for you? Because on the McFly side of things, you know, you guys are used to doing, I think, like shorter tours in bigger venues. Mm-hmm. This is like the first time in forever where you've been out for like a month on the road solidly. So I'm sure it's been a whole different experience for you guys. And Stephen, I'm sure it's just being weird going to a new audience and seeing the McFly fan base embrace Lost Alone, take you in and winning people over.
Yeah, I think I think touring is the most favorite part of the job for us. We've always really, really enjoy touring. Everything that we do in the studio, in our mind, we've always got like, oh, what's this going to sound like live? When we come to play this live, we're going to put this extra bit in, or that's got some crowd participation bit in it. And when we play like arenas, we feel a bit under pressure to play just all the hits, because we know that not everybody in there is like a diehard fan. But this tour was sort of we called it Power to Play. It was all that we're only not playing like three of the new album, I think. So it's all the new album. It's a bunch of like deep cuts and fan favorites and stuff, and just stuff that works as a live show and as a just an awesome high energy set list. When we were putting the set list together, we were trying to think like what a DJ does.
Okay.
And to keep the energy and like give people a little bit of a break, like three quarters of the way through, and then just like pound them at the end. And there's, we think
also
it
little, there's also little details of like, here's the kind of emo kind, more emo stuff. Let's hit you with the first impression, which is on this tour, the message was Power to Play. Boom. Then you go a little bit more emotional. Then you go heart. And then you have like a party section, and then you're off onto the encore with like a celebration. So there's all these little tiny segments.
Yeah,
of like
it was
a
like we didn't like
through.
Going from all the other tours we've done is like chucking in a sincere song like near the end, like, so we get sincerity done sort of at the front end. You have like fun, sincerity, fun, party.
Yeah, it's like trying to chuck everything into one chapter. You don't do it. You just have little sections of like, oh, this next bit's cool, and then let's take them down this road. This is part of this. And I think the fans, the feedback we're getting is that they're appreciating that, and they can feel that too. And that's where it's like, ah, it matters. Like, that stuff matters. Instead of just throwing a load of songs together.
It's kind of a bold statement to try and put as many new songs into a set list that you have. I mean, you know, we've all gone and seen artists and you're just kind of like, play the ones you know kind of thing. But people have really embraced this new album on this tour. And as you said, you've mixed it in with such kind of deep cuts and fan favorites, especially from like Radioactive and Wonderland and everything. It's just been kind of like a nice in between from everything, because people are enjoying the new songs, but then you're cutting straight into a song that they've wanted you to play live for like 10 years.
Yeah, I
think we actually approached that really quite, well, the best way we thought, and we were very aware that, you know, we've seen bands where we've seen the, you know, the new music. Oh, come on, man. But it's like, we have moments where we can, well, we're proud of this album, and I feel like the way it integrates itself and the way it's put together is quite clever. Like, we can hit them with, and live, like Dougie's saying, like the album is meant to be played live, and we knew that. And we believed in that. And it's like, You know, I went to see, we went to see Queens of the Stone Age the other day, right? And I'll be honest, I probably know three of their songs. But when I went there, my experience of all of their songs, it was the experience I had that blew me away. So I went back and had a deep dive into it all. And now I'm like, oh my God. And it's that thing of like, you need to see people live to understand the real true personality of a band. And we knew that and our experience told us that. But then we also don't ever want to forget that people need to hear Stargirl and people need to hear All About You. But maybe this tour, we can reinvent that. And All About You became this kind of moment of like me and Tom just jamming it, and it's just free and it's like playing with the crowd and there's no pressure, like Doug said, of this arena going, it's all about you.
Well, like the thing of like playing arenas and having to play the hits is that it's not like, like tempo wise, then it's all over the place.
Right.
So the flow of a show is really different. And I've always been fighting that it as long as the energy is up, it doesn't really matter what song it is. And because these venues are so small, which is, there's no pressure. We're just like, fuck
it. It's similar to what La Salona are doing as a support, is that having, obviously it's great support, like having friends on tour. I don't even feel like it's a support. It's just touring with friends.
Yeah, it's really good fun.
I remember speaking to you, Steve, about we could have done 2-3 more songs, but we put sections in to get the crowd going, to get this going. And I think people, you know, appreciate
it. I think that's so important. I mean, I think your set's been awesome on this tour because even though you are peppering it with hits, it's about, like you said, it's the energy. And you do get, like, you know, your track 3, Sully, that's one that like is a massive hit from, like, you know, earlier in your career. But it just, that just, it accelerates the energy from what came before. No one, because I always think, like we've talked before about like doing loads of new tracks from a new album, but this is the Power to Play tour and you guys are playing a smaller, you know, venues on purpose. And it's the hardcore fans and they've embraced this record. And I think you'd have a problem if you weren't playing this many songs because there's no dip when you play a new track to one of your massive tracks from what I can see. It's just energy.
It turns into more of a party.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's like, oh yeah. And like you said, you're always going to have some people, even at these shows, who are like here for like the hits. But generally, like, I personally felt proud just being a small part of making your record. Like that, seeing, like, you know, it's a weird perspective for me because I'm not in your band, but I was in the room when like certain lyrics, like I'm the number one at making bad decisions.
Oh yeah. And
like, I mean, then just like seeing a whole crowd sing that when it's not my band,
yeah,
but I'm like, it just blows me. Yeah. I feel proud of like the little discussions we all had like back in the day, like talking about the possibility of this tour.
Yeah.
Talking about what kind of lighting.
Yeah.
So actually
I've seen some faces in the crowd as well get the like Land of the Bees riffs and stuff like that. Like of like, you know, like that bad smell face where you, when you're playing guitar.
That was us at Queens of the Stone Age.
That's so true. Yeah.
And you, I suppose these venues allow you to see the crowd in more individually rather than as a mass because there's less of them, but you see the impact it's having. And we believe that as soon as we got in the studio that we wanted to make, we had no pressure on this album. We just wanted to make something that was replicated us as a band live and puts bums on seats and sells tickets.
Totally does that, yeah.
Instead of, you know, trying to get on radio and think how commercially we could sell this. I think going straight from us and hitting the fans with what they wanted as well, or what they think, or what they didn't know they needed.
Yeah. No, but you've nailed it with all of that, especially. But Stephen, how different has it been for you being on that two sides of it, where you're kind of proud seeing these new songs, you're playing one of them on the stage with the guys,
yeah,
but then having to like, not win over the fans, but have that new audience that
It kind of is winning over, and I relish that actually.
Yeah.
I love doing our own shows, but not to say it's easy, but it is easier to walk out when everybody already knows and that you just put, you know, even just for example, when I walk out on this stage, the first thing I do is get the entire crowd to put their arms up and then do the whole, you know, like the I can't do it because I've got a drink and you can't see me, but I get them to do stuff. And it's like, that can fail massively when you're the support band. And if you do that first song and it fails, you just kind of ruin your whole gig. But I'm really enjoying the going out every night, kind of, I always think about this, you sat in a room like this we are now in a small dressing room And you're just with your friends. And out there is like a baying mob of people who kind of don't really want to see you. They want to see the main band. And I love the fact that just me and my friends walk out and just go, we're about to absolutely have it. And you are going to be, by the end of this set, you're going to be singing a song that you don't know yet. And that's my satisfaction. And when I know I've won the crowd is when in the last song on this tour, the whole crowd sing like a whole chorus that they've not, you know, 90% of them have not heard Lost Alone, I think, on this tour. And that's why I love this tour as well. We've done tours before where people are familiar. They might not like us. They might love us. This tour feels like a huge amount of people. They might have a bit of name recognition because I've been hanging around with the guys for a couple of years. But in general, it could not have gone better for us, to be honest. I mean, the reaction's been amazing. I don't take that for granted, but we worked very hard in our rehearsal about going, we've got 40 minutes. We're probably playing 29 minutes worth of music. The rest is just left for like what we call Rogue Steve, which is just for me to like, I've got the time to win an audience with my charisma.
You've only given yourself 11 minutes.
No, I know. I know. That's not a long time. But very precise though. No, do you know what my most proud thing on this tour is? I've got a clock on my pedal board.
I see
and,
that.
And every night, even when I'm Rogue, so I'm off the guitar. Rogue Steve is when I've never done this on any other tour addicted. Because I've always wanted to basically be Freddie Mercury. And so I now, twice in the set, don't have a guitar. And I go Rogue with a secondary mic. And I can walk around and conduct the crowd. It's my favourite thing ever. But I do have a clock. On the last song, every night I've been taking the crowd to different places. Like we went to the Forest Moon of Endor. We've been to Lapland. Just whatever I'm feeling that night, I take them there. But then the idea is I'm trapped there and they need to help me escape via singing my song to me. Anyway, but I have this clock. And my favourite thing is Ian, the production manager. We have to bring it in on time. And I bring it in not just on time, but like very specifically. I do the last thing when it hits.
Yeah. So
I know it's a bit like weird thing to like, but I love that your crew appreciate that. Because it's sometimes support bands just like, they'll just be like going over and stuff. But I love walking off to Ian with his little torch and going, right, mate. It's very satisfying to me that we have an awesome show and we also bring it in so specifically on time. I just find a great pride in that.
That's great.
It's really fun.
But you are a very quick load on, load off band and very precise. Like the mic, I love the fact that the drums are all mic'd up.
Yeah.
Before they're even set up, as they're in individual pieces.
Yeah, we have it. It is a weird thing, and I don't know why. We've obviously done a lot of headline shows, but we've always really enjoyed being a support band that not only the other band but the crew will go, oh, okay, awesome. We're not going to have any trouble here. These guys are we really like that. We like the fact that we're just off stage quickly and you come in, you absolutely own an audience, and you win hopefully a large percentage of them, and then you're gone. There's no trace of you. You're literally just gone. And people are like, what just happened? And then they obviously watch. It's really fun. I love seeing it live, which is we play, you get a few online things. And then obviously the guys are on, so there's nothing coming through because obviously everyone's watching you. And then I love at 11 p.m. It's when I know the amount of new people that just start hitting our socials and all over. And then the next morning, that, at the end of the day, apart from just being amazing to be on tour with my friends and also personally, I've really liked that my best friends from back home, my band and my friends, everyone's getting on. It's nice.
Yeah,
It's nice when you want your friends to like each other. I've loved that. But I'm really satisfied with the fact that we're picking up a lot of these guys' fans. And talking to Tom about it last night, actually just saying on paper, maybe you would never have thought that. If we didn't know each other, you wouldn't go, put these bands together. But actually what Tom said was that we both kind of don't really fit in our own world. We're supposed to be a bit more in this kind of heavier thing, Kerrang world, and we got lumped in with emo and stuff, and you guys have been putting pop and everything. Yeah. And actually what both of us are is really good pop rock, and entertaining.
Because we've obviously had countless amounts of different support acts, and we can never really like nail like who is the right fit. We're like, oh, like I guess that solo artist, yeah, let's put like an acoustic thing on before that's, you know, people were coming to see songs like All About You and everything. And then we go out and we're actually more of a rock band than a pop act. And I feel like the first song, we're still warming people up. And obviously, like, new Lost Alone, love Lost Alone. But then they did, you were doing the Mikem tour and watching all those videos back. So that, again, like, not their audience and watching all the crowd participation stuff. I was like, that's what we fucking need before we go on. So, like, even our playlist and everything before is all shit, like, nostalgic shit people can sing along to.
People are commenting on that playlist. Like, people have literally said to me, that playlist, and I was like, I think Doug did that.
I took a lot of time.
He's properly good.
It's the one with, like, Taking Back Sunday and all that on.
Oh, no, that's a different, it's a different one. That was what, we had that one for, like, 10 years.
This new one is, like, and when you get to Living on a Prayer, and the volume increases a little bit.
It's in time, yeah. So, it goes, you have, like, a bunch of cool 80s sing-along rock stuff, and then when it gets to Bohemian Rhapsody, which we got from Green Day, because that worked in a stadium.
Rad. They got that from Queen, I think.
I don't know. And then Living on a Prayer, YMCA, and then we're on. And obviously before that, we have Lost Alone warming everyone up. I mean, and the first show we played that you came to, our dressing room was like right behind the stage. Like, we could fucking hear everything, and hearing the crowd get involved in Lost Alone stuff on that first night, I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah, it's fucking worked. we were right.
That's awesome. I didn't know you guys could hear us like playing it.
I think that's what makes our tour special, is that as soon as you're in the room, it's thought of. So like, even the playlist, like, it's all a build up towards what's coming in the show. And it's like,
yeah, I want to get into scent next. I want to be pumping the room full of like some kind of scent.
Right. It's going to be like that Aerosmith ride in Disney, you know, like, or Universal.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I like immersive.
When you're in the queue, you know, and you're getting the stories about Aerosmith and all that, we might start doing that at the show.
In the queue outside. That'd be sick. That'd be cool, yeah.
We did look into that once about trying to decorate the like the halls and the bars and stuff. Oh, wow. It was just really expensive.
I'm reversing. Yeah, I might steal that as well.
There's pictures of me.
We
could do that for like an anniversary thing or something, maybe.
What you should do for the Lost Alone tour is get information about McFly.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah. Just me,
photos of
me as like a narrator with a mic like this, going, "Good evening. You're welcome to the Lost Alone tour." Dougie Poynter was born in
1987
in a tour guide.
I'd love to be if I wasn't a rock star, I would love to be a tour guide.
Wow. You can tell the whole story about where, you know, so Dougie's let's go back to the audition, and you can understand how Dougie was feeling. There was a bin outside. This bin is a replica of the one he puked in before he came in, and Dougie, and then he didn't give up at that point. He still came into this room.
He thought it was over. Yeah. He went back home. Dougie went to bed. He thought, well, that was my chance at rock and roll stardom. But then he received a call. "Please come back, Doug. We think you might be the one, but you really do need to learn more of that Billie Jean song."
Yeah. That I played on repeat. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I got maybe that accurate.
It was very accurate.
And maybe say more than two words.
I was going for mysterious.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It worked. It worked, didn't it?
I was going for the John Deacon.
Yeah, he went so John Deacon. I mean, and you have wrote hits like John.
I just wish they were as big.
To be fair, John Deacon has wrote bigger hits than Freddie Mercury, actually, which is just insane. Queen's biggest hit, Another One Bites the Dust. Queen's biggest airplay in America, You're My Best Friend. Both John Deacon songs.
Cool.
Sorry, we're just going to
full of knowledge.
Do you know what I love the most about him is now he's a recluse.
He could have the greatest like book documentary. I mean, he's a member of Queen. He's not like an add-on. He's a full on songwriter, member of Queen. Him and Freddie Mercury are close. He has not, since Queen ended officially in 1991, which that is when Queen ended, just to be clear. He's not done a single interview, and he's bought three houses on either side of him in Putney, so he owns them all, so no one can get close.
Wow,
that's
a monopoly.
Yeah, and he's still it's still his company. So all what they do, he still makes the money, but he's no Rich. Interest in it. He's so in, not no interest.
That's
in anything.
My hero,
and he won't talk about it. And one of his sons is a YouTuber, and the only kind of there's been a couple of sightings of him, but one was his son on YouTube, and you just hear in the background, and it's got so many views. He went, "Callum, dinner." And it's John Deacon shouting down for his dinner. Yes. That's like the most he's spoken in like 30 years.
Wow. But I just love the fact that you know all of that knowledge, to I be know fair. Everything. So, yeah, literally.
Steve's a queenologist.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, you're sort of a rockologist, really. You know...
I think I'm a rockologist, but with the specialist subject being Queen.
Mm.
Queen and their solo projects and their personal lives.
You should do... like, was it Mastermind? Is that where you get to pick it?
Well, we've joked about wanting to do Battelle versus Jason Perry and argue who's better between Rush and Queen. But
there's
then,
obviously no argument.
But you two would just argue for ages. So
well,
it'd be great content.
Jason doesn't know as much as about Rush as Steve does about Queen.
And also, I think you'd just intro them and then you won't get a word in.
No, that's the thing. We could just leave for an hour. It's easy work. Yeah.
That's John Deacon.
The John Deacon mindset.
Yeah, But I love how all these worlds are combining and just the love in between everything.
Combining.
Yeah.
Is
it forming into
like
one?
Is that a word?
No,
combined. I don't think there's a D in there.
No, sorry, I didn't pick that up to be awful.
Okay.
I just liked it and wanted to remember.
You can have that
because I think it's combining, but combining actually to me is a better
binding.
Word. Yeah,
binding.
You've come and you've binded me.
I've obviously done that on purpose. Yes. But no, I wanted to have this conversation with you guys because you've all been on individually, but you've all talked about writing with each other. With it being this album Power to Play or for other artists now, and we're seeing a lot of the music starting to come out of the work you've been doing with, and you've even got a name now for this collective and writing group with
we have
yes.
Crazy.
We are
are we going to say the name we settled on, or do we want to tell them about
the
other name?
Please tell us. But yeah,
we were called Danger Zone.
We were called Danger Zone.
Nice.
We were actually called it.
Because
we referred to ourselves as it.
Because of the song, you know, Danger Zone. Yeah. And you write into the Danger Zone. And we thought we were being really clever.
And we always felt a little bit more dangerous when we were together.
Mm.
There was just something in the air. We were dangerous, weren't we?
Yeah. And we were going to wear like pilot helmets and stuff and keep our identities secret. Again, like kind of John Deacon, know.
Everything comes back to Deacon.
Yeah.
But we settled on SideQuest because we're nerds.
Yeah, and it feels quite apt because we do all have a massive other passion in our lives, like that is our main quest or our quest.
Our quest. No, it's main story. That's main story, and then SideQuest is this,
and it's something that is so nice and organic because it wasn't like. Anybody forced us to do something that we didn't need. We just so enjoyed being in each other's company and making music. It just felt very natural. Sorry, a bit of this ginger just got stuck in my throat. It just felt very natural, didn't it? Like that the rules of SideQuest or the rule is it has to be fun.
Yeah, if it's
as
not
in
fun.
Like if any of us were like oh God, we've got to get a side quest today. It just won't be a thing because the point is we just laugh and make awesome music with like cool people and we do really enjoy being in the room together. And also I think however it happened, we just really make sense together. Like,
yeah, everyone brings something different.
Yeah.
I think that's what's cool about it. And we're not all trying to do the same job.
Well, all three of you have got different kind of influences and backgrounds in between the music and your releases anyway, but I've brought it up before because every time I've seen one of you posting about it on your stories with whoever you work with, you all just seem like you're having so much fun with this. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of pressure off because it's not one of your own kind of things you're working with someone else.
I think personally for me, part of it is frustration of like, I'm not saying we're going to help everyone and get hits and all that, but I want people to have fun making music. And do what they believe in and stick to it. There's a lot of stuff that's contrived or someone else's dream or whatever. And we see it so often that they think that that's the right thing for them. And you know, some people out there get good advice, some people bad. But what we can bring is our experience. And from being in bands, from being and doing it and still doing it, not just have done it, we're still doing it, we're still living it, and we're still in it, and we know people. And if we can give new artists that are, you know, still at it, that have lost their way, whatever, we're here for you. SideQuest is here for you.
We are here.
Because we're like, just to bring back the love of music again. And because you can get in a rut thinking about this, thinking about that, and you get too business-minded or you get too this, but the core of it is, if you have a good song, everything works out. If it connects with you, if it connects with the fans, that's success. Doesn't matter how big or small it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, maybe some other teams and stuff that do that as their main story are like, they're going for their hit. So maybe some of the artists' opinions and feelings towards it aren't really in it. It's not, yeah.
And I think doing it that way, we get to the good stuff quicker. Like, we tend to not do just one day as well. We don't like that, do we? We like to get to know the artist. Because the first day, we can't shut Steve up. You know what I mean? We don't get any stuff done.
Clearly.
So we need a day just for Steve's chat.
There's a lot of chat. There's a lot. I like to get everything out on the table day one. Like, my entire biography, likes, dislikes. Then I like to get their biographies.
I mean, the dream would be to do like someone's, you know, full EP,
like
get their album done, really kind of like nurture the artist.
I was going to say that that's the only frustrating thing is we really enjoy doing it so much is we do like 3 days and we're like, well, fuck, I could do this for like another month or so.
We're so
into
that artist. Yeah. And we really embed, we become like part of their like world, and then it's like,
that's another rule though of ours.
Yeah.
Another rule of ours, if we don't think we can get that immersed into it, then it's not a goer.
Yeah, we just don't. Like,
we need to get
it.
Fully involved, fully believing it, because it is a lot of our, one, it's a lot of our time, it's a lot of our effort, a lot of emotional kind of things we want to get.
It is emotional as well. The thing I've found the nicest so far, as well as like genuinely, I think there's 6 or 7 of my favorite songs I've been part of. Like, there's genuinely really amazing songs that aren't out yet, but
got a great Dropbox.
it's stunning. Yeah. It's stunning. But I think I really like that pretty much all the artists we work with so far, I like their feedback to us, which is like, this isn't like normal writing sessions. This has been so much fun, and I've got an awesome track. I mean, I wouldn't like it if they were like, we just had a great time, but thanks for having fun. We got to come down to the McFly studio.
Yeah.
But it's actually that they're, and it goes from what Danny said at the start there, which is, we come from like, you know, a different world to right now, which is a lot of going into rooms quite small, and there's a laptop, and somebody's, and I'm not saying this about everybody, but it's quite sterile about, here's what's big at the moment. Oh, you're a 19-year-old girl. Cool. This is what you should be. But what we do is, people come into like a studio where an awesome record has been made with gear. And then the first thing we do is want to know all about them. And I think we get that from having worked with producers in the past, who the first thing about making music is not like, cool, here's a backbeat and like, now write lyrics. It's about trust and making that person feel like this is like a safe place to completely express themselves and not hold anything back. And my favorite thing is when somebody will say to us, no, that's not me. Because then you know, this is an honest situation and we will go towards them. Because that's not always the case. And so that's my favorite thing, that I feel like in like the first hour, we just get to know somebody so well, immerse ourselves, and then, because there's no ego from us, we're just trying to get them out of the room with the thing that they go away with going, that's the thing I've always wanted. And that makes me feel so good.
All we're relying on for us is we make sure we chase that feeling. As long as we get feeling from the music, then we've done our job.
Yeah. Well, we just had No Offense on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
And we were talking to him about the session and going and writing that song with you. And they were saying just like, how relaxed you made Noah feel in the terms of like, oh, there's no like rush. Like, if a song needs an extra day, it needs an extra day, like we can get there kind of thing. And they hadn't had that kind of mindset before. So I feel like you've all been in those situations where maybe, you know, you've all dealt with major labels and deadlines and people telling you like, oh, you should go down this route, or this is trendy or whatever. So how nice is it when you're with someone now and you can just be like, no, don't listen to all that. Like, let's just focus on the song because this is the fun bit rather than it's their job to worry about the release date, not yours.
Do you know what? It's that thing, isn't it? Like, Rome wasn't built in a day. Oh, but someone said something really cool the other day and I hope I get it right, but you don't shout at a bud when it's not a rose. Is that right? You're not shouting at it going, come on! Yeah. It's got to grow and become beautiful and become this thing. And
I think Jason was like that with us. That was what was so great working with Jace for the very first time on our third album, that it was a bit more relaxed. And if I think he felt the vibe wasn't right in the studio, he would be like, right, okay, cinema trip. And we'd all just go to the cinema for a little while and come back a bit happier. And he just made it fun. That's why he's still our guy.
Look at the greats as well, like Eno, you know, and what's the guy you like? Rick Rubin.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys are like, they're massive on setting an atmosphere. Be creative.
Yeah.
And it's a playground to be creative, and that's what it should be. There shouldn't be no thinking about how it's going to be on the outside yet. It's like, let's just create something funny in here.
Create the feeling.
If the four of us are like, this is amazing, that's once all four of us go, yes, this is amazing, that's good enough for the world. And then you're always going to have opinions on anything anyway. So it's like creating that atmosphere that's like, doesn't have to be rushed. Let's nurture it. And you can then, because what I find personally is if I give things time, I come back as a listener, not a writer. And I think that's massively important. I'm not in the zone where I'm like producing it and trying to write it and overthink stuff.
I actually come
back a few days later and I'm just listening to it going, oh, that's cool. And your brain works differently. It's completely different when you're a listener. And that's when you really can get, you forget about how hard it was to get a certain lyric. And sometimes your brain goes, I don't want to change that lyric, so work really hard on it. You come back going, that lyric didn't work, let's change it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But as well, you guys are kind of that, you're three different mindsets away from their mindset as well. So it's all those fresh perspectives, 100%. But just for like argument's sake, say now you've all lost a bet and you have to write a song with me, right?
I love how you lost a bet. Not won the bet.
You're not doing that willingly. Come on. How would you go about a session? Is it kind of like, right, Morgan, have you got any ideas?
I'll do it right now. Do it right. If you just walked into the room now, we'd not met you. First of all, like,
we wouldn't even say anything about music.
Danny would be like, let's do the tour, or Doug, whoever's there, take you around the studio, make you feel like welcome. I'd go on the tour for a drink,
obviously, tea or whatever.
Would you like a massage? Maybe?
Yeah, there's always a massage happening upstairs. But genuinely, the first thing that we'd be doing is just sitting down and just going, how's it going? Like, what you've been up to? Like, tell us what you've been up to. What's your vibe? And have you got any ideas? What do you want to write about today? Like,
yeah, and tell us what you're about. Like, what do you want to
tell us?
What
do you see yourself? Play us music that you like, that we maybe have, like, we'll go, oh, we know that. Or, no way, what is this? And we're suddenly super inspired by something that they've brought in.
Actually, I feel like it's almost like, let's put all of our ingredients out on this table and then before we cook anything. And
it literally is that.
Like, what have you got? What have you brought with you?
Some garlic glass from Portugal.
My favorite thing with the younger ones is they'll bring with younger artists they'll have like a reference or something of another artist that they really love, and we'll listen to it and go, well, holy shit, that's just one song. Yeah, it's just that one song, and they've got no other songs like it. We're like, well, that's just Deftones. And then they've never heard of Deftones before. So we spend all day listening to Deftones and their mind is like blown. And then our minds are like re-blown about how good Deftones are. And like Digital Bath that has the amazing snare sound. It's still the best snare sound in the world.
That's so true though. We rediscover artists we've loved for years through someone else's eyes who they've never heard of this thing that to us is like, just in the ether.
Yeah.
It's just part of the fabric. And then they're like, you can't believe, because it is weird. Like a 19-year-old maybe doesn't know the first couple of Deftones records.
Nah.
Why? And it's not there. Why would they? Like,
as we're talking about now, I suppose the first thing we do is just get aligned. Get aligned with the person, that the artist that's in the room. And just get vibed and excited by music.
Yeah.
And that's the first step to what we do.
And it's the first, like, sometimes first couple of hours is just like going, we're relentless. The three of us are like, no, wait, this. And it's like, just, it's going hard, like onto like getting an excited vibe. And then it's always like, what I really enjoy is that the artist doesn't often know this is happening, but, and I definitely do this. I don't know if you guys do, but I'm making notes of like, if they just tell us a story, I'm like, that line or that was awesome for the jump off point. And then I'll always say something like, you know, when you mentioned that thing the other day about what happened to you at that train station, how about like the song is about this?
Yeah.
I always really like to do that. And then Danny and Dougie have already like got an instrument or something, and you've like, you found something in what they're saying to like start building a riff or something. But it's almost like, I don't know, like we're like doctors of rock. Like they don't realize we're diagnosing them during that first hour. And then halfway through it, we start curing them.
But it's also trying to get, yeah, it's true that. And it's also guiding them to, we never overthink this, but guiding them to something that's going to be original. And that's the most difficult thing. And the way we do that is exactly what Doug said, like listening to their references, then us going back to like, well, that's old school, that, blah, blah, blah. Suddenly you've got five. So like the typical thing is you go, I look at Springsteen, I look at Bon Iver, I look at War on Drugs, I look at all these people, and then I look at who they are influenced by. Oh, Bob Dylan, this, that, blah, 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 all the, and then suddenly all of those things combined into one is what makes it original.
Yeah.
And that's what you're kind of cooking.
So that's back to your point. If we write a song with you, that's right. What we'd have done.
But I love that fact that you're going through that thing, because I'm sure you've all been in situations where if you're writing with someone else, it's like, okay, cool, what have you got? I've got this riff. Like, and you're just trying to get it off the bat. And that point about trying to make it original, I think is very refreshing as well, because one example I can think of is every kind of emo-y rock band maybe 7-8 years ago all tried to sound like 1975 because they were the big band at the time, and all the labels were like, we need more like this. And in retrospect now, it didn't work.
It's the biggest mistake any artist makes, is trying to be like the current biggest thing, because they're already the current biggest thing. And what really you need to become is, you need to become the thing that everyone tries to copy. And if you try and become the current, they've already done it better than you. But like, they're already big.
The 1975 thing is still,
still
a thing.
Yeah,
we struggle with that a little bit. They're, like everybody,
they're still such a big, amazing band, and still appeal to a young audience, and all the kids just want to be them. But their sound is so original. It's such a great idea.
I think writing at the moment,
like a multi-story car park, you're trying to find that one space that's not filled. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
you're like going, there's a space there. No, it's a small car.
Yeah.
It's pop punk.
And then suddenly you go, oh, there's a space that's not been filled there, and that's what you're just constantly looking for.
Yeah.
And then that's because I think the first hour is thinking about, like, as we're talking out loud, is probably the most important part of the session.
It's so integral. Not even because touching the computer or any instrument.
Exactly. Like, before we've even asked you what you've got and what you've brought. Because until we're all aligned and know about you and know about where you want to be, or we're all then thinking in the same kind of world of like the same goal is what we're going to go for. Then you play as a riff, our brains are in that world or in that thing of like, we know where we need to get that riff to.
Yeah.
And here's the road, and we'll try and find it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's just so nice to hear how excited you all are about this and just working with people. But, you know, I think it's definitely given you all a new lease of life and love and doing this. And obviously you bring that back to your other projects as well. But if you compare it to, like, say a side project, like, you know, you all have, you've either done like solo albums or you've played with other bands before in the past. Do you think this feeling of writing for other people is completely different than, say, the three of you were to do like a secret project together and like that be a band? The fact
yeah,
that
it does to me, yeah, would that completely
it,
different.
We'd be like overthinking it, yeah. and the kind of the we'd be the artist again, yeah, like, yeah. You know,
that's the key. We're not the artist, yeah. And that's the fun part for me, is like the fact that it's us three adding an ingredient to us, really, like the artist who comes in, and we get to like become part of their artist world for a day or 3 days. And I just love that. It's for me, it's nothing, could not compare. Like, I've done two solo albums. This is nothing like that. That's an expression of like me and a certain mood and like very personal. This is me with like two amazing friends who love music. Like, we found each other. Obviously you guys found each other a long time ago, but I found you two found me, and we're just like, this is random that it doesn't, I don't take for granted that we just, and the other guys in your band as well, like, that we just got on so well. It isn't normal. We've all met lots of people, and then to have this as a, like, I would have been really sad if like Power to Play had ended and we were just like, that was cool. Like, yeah, see you. Catch you later. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. The fact that, and I do think, probably hopefully speak for all of us when I say this, but I do think that's kind of, before we even met any other artists, part of the want to do this was we enjoyed being together and we were almost searching for something to, like, how can we keep this a thing that we do? So that
is an excuse, really.
It's just an excuse. That, yeah.
It's just a big excuse.
I think also we, as a band, we went through hiatus, right?
Yeah.
That. But, you know, and I see it, if I compare it in my brain to like a sports person, like a footballer, if you don't play football when you're not in a team, when you come back, you're not going to be fit.
No.
You know, you're going to be a shit footballer. And I think this is a way of like keeping, not it's not a way of protecting, I think it's, how do you refine your art even more and keep going at it so that when you come and do your thing, you've got all this knowledge and all this experience and you've been there and you're in it and you've got to be in it and live it and breathe it and everything like that. And it only makes you better, doesn't it? So I think I see it like that as well.
Yeah.
Because I want to produce when I'm not producing the band.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to get, learn new tricks because I know eventually it's going to help the band because then I'll have this thing to bring in. And I'm not saying, I love our relationship we have with Jason because he,
I don't have to do the whole album because I'm in the band. He's like, mate, Jonesy, be in the band on the piano. But
I can't help but produce a few of the songs, you know, which is enough for me. That's cool. That's great. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask how this started because, you know, after Power to Play, but you've just answered that because you just wanted to kind of keep it going and keep hanging out and stuff. But Stephen, you'd done this kind of thing before where you've written with producers and you've been kind of that guy they call in to come in. Were you looking for something like this again, or did certain conversation just happen for it
not
to
at
be?
All not at all. I mean, my band's obviously in a different situation to the guys, where I do my band and songwriting kind of almost now equally. Obviously my band's my life. I can't, you know, it's what I love. But when I got into songwriting a few years ago, that's what I do. So I was not looking for this at all. And it was just like I said, it was purely that, like, almost like with the end, like the same as the end of this tour, as we got towards, like, I was so proud to be part of their record, like unbelievably proud. But I was starting to feel a bit sad of like, oh God, like it's done. and then we just naturally would like to go down the studio together. And then it was like, why are we not just like, so yeah, I wasn't looking for this in any way, but it just felt like wrong not to pursue something that it, A, is fun, and B, I can't believe what a buzz I'm getting from like A, just being in the room together, and B, like when Noah announced his album like 2 days ago, and I was just like, oh, one of our tracks is on that. And it's a different feeling to doing your own thing, because you're not the person fronting it, but you're like, I know, A, for Noah, who I think is super talented and like such a lovely person, but like, I just love the fact that Noah came down for a couple of days a few months ago, and now there's like a massive campaign going on around a record, and we're part of it. And I feel super proud of that. Like that, like I said, these guys have wrote songs with massive artists before, and I've got songs with other people. But again, it's the thing of like this thing that we did as a bit of like, oh, we want to carry on. We're now actually seeing it like going to come out, and those songs are going to mean something to Noah's fan base. And so you get a whole other thing where now there's other people in a completely different world starting to get affected by songs that we've like come up with Noah and other artists we work with. That is just like another tentacle of ours, like going to a place it never would have been. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just,
it's well, cool. You know. Even our first release with Lou, awesome. Addicts, like, yeah. Just hearing it and seeing him
put the artwork to it
and yeah. Do all this promo around socials and that. And it's just a buzz. And to see him happy with, but again, that was like, that was a pretty quick turnaround. Like we didn't send that even to mixing, like mixed it and master it ourselves. And it's like, off it goes. And it's like, I was completely like losing sleep over like, mate, I remember calling you going, I can do that mix better.
Yeah, I can do that mix better.
I had enough of the snares. Is that, and that's that thing of being in it so much that you lose sleep over it. But I'm always like that when I love sending it off to somebody else to mix. I'm like, just, you know, mix it for me. But that one was fully like, can you mix it and master it? I'm like, I'm literally Googling what's the mixing of Spotify mastering. It was like minus, do you remember us looking at the loudness meter going, I think it's minus between minus 14 and minus 9, like with master, it's mad. But I've done that before, but it's like getting it right for Spotify because it's different for iTunes and all these.
It's just mad.
It was just great fun to help him, because, you know, smaller budget, all of that stuff, to help Lou out and see him be happy.
He's really good and he's a great guy. And he, and I think as well, like Danny saying there, that the loss of sleep Danny had shows as well, I think, that even though we say this is side quest and we do have other main things, it doesn't mean we don't put like a billion percent into, when we fall in love with one of these artists because they're just so lovely and we make this thing together, all we want is for them to have like absolute success with it, and we want it to be the best it can possibly be.
That's why I think we're so keen to like do EPs and albums, because then we can go, everyone that we booked out,
and
we can fully, you know, get involved in it.
Well, from this conversation, it seems like that's like the next logical step for you guys. Just the feeling I'm having from you talking about this is you would love to be that producer or that like team behind
someone's
Jason Perry I feel like that may be not like not goal, but I think that is something you guys are definitely trying to do next.
It definitely is, because we all come from bands that like still love albums when that's not the most fashionable thing to, you know, the focus is now a lot more on the single songs, but we love making a record. To be able to be like, okay guys, cool, you've all got some time aside from your own, you know, McFly Lost Alone. These 4 weeks, you're in with this girl who you've, you know, bonded with and love, and you're making her thing. So to immerse yourself in that world, like Doug was saying earlier, so the hardest part sometimes is like getting, you know, you've got another artist 2 days later who you're probably going to fall in love with again. But we really, we're not dialing this in. We fall into their world and just love it and immerse ourselves.
I think also what's exciting about collectively coming together like this and calling it a side quest thing is that there is still a lot of shitty perception about when you put, you know, it's Danny from McFly, it's Dougie from McFly, you know, it's that thing of like, they think they're going to get something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. In association.
But we're, I mean, the work we've been doing,
I mean, listen to Noah's shows. Track. You would never,
no one would ever believe
people would
that.
People never think that, like you guys would be like a driving force behind a track.
Which
like
is,
that. You
in a sense, why I love it, because I'm like,
that's the point.
This
proves a massive point to like a lot of perception, I think.
Oh yeah.
And like, and I'm not saying like, you know, like it's not coming from, it's not coming from people or like, for example, we went, I don't know who it's coming from, but I feel like there's a lot of like, it, maybe in management and that world, it's more like that world, they think that this guy over here
is in that box,
in that box, what they do, and that box, and that box. Whereas this is like, we're in our own fucking box.
Yeah.
You know, and it's quite cool.
And then it's, later on, they find out who it is. It's kind of cool.
Apart from now, we've done a podcast and told everyone our secret identity.
No, that's what's cool. Yeah, no, that's what's cool. Yeah.
But I think, no, but I think that's why I love the sessions with like Lou and Noah and all these people that you know, they have to put their belief in us.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, and we can only thank them for that. It, you know, we've only got our experiences as, and our backgrounds and history, but you know, it's them that are stepping into the SideQuest world and going, right, let's do it. And you know, Noah's a massive example of that.
Yeah, yeah. And that track is super heavy.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the heaviest we've done, I think.
Yeah, it literally is, yeah. And it was so organic. It wasn't like, let's do a heavy track. It was just, again, it was this the sit round chat, and that was the vibe of the day.
I mean, the fact that it's so short, I was like, it needs another thing. We were like, nope, that's perfect. That's good. Yeah. We were brave enough to even go,
nope, 2 minutes off. Yeah. 1:50 or something.
It's got such a good breakdown in it. Like, I'm so excited about that. You know, the whole like, and Doug's got a bit of Universal vocals on it.
Oh yeah, yeah, my vocals are on it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you would never know that it's me.
And neither did the lawyers.
Well, did a bit. Yeah,
literally. I'm sure Noah will tell the story, but Doug had to take all of his incredible acting skills as well as just his vocal performance to do what he did on that. It was,
yeah, I did some voice acting.
Okay.
So we could legally get away with using some audio from somewhere else.
And it was so good. We're just telling the story now, but it was so good what Doug did that after we'd been told you got to change this bit, and then Doug did it like acting, they still sent back going, whoa, no.
You said you were
going to do it. And we're like, we did. That's just how good it is.
That's impressive.
We even went back in the studio to send them the right file.
It's crazy.
Oh well, voiceover work now. Add that to your list as well. No, I honestly, I've said that enough for you. Yeah, just seeing you guys so happy about doing this is next level, and I really appreciate you telling me all these secrets about SideQuest and everything. As we start to wind down on this conversation, because you guys all do need to get ready for this last day of tour. I wanted to ask just a quick question with songwriting and for you all. Is there a certain element within a song that is something that you take more pride in, whether it be like melody, hook, lyrics, feeling? Like, when you go into this now, is there one thing you prefer to focus on and then the rest follows, or is it just whatever happens and it depends on who you're working with, what the song is, what the vibe is, and all the rest?
Good question.
I think I'm personally led by melody and feeling. If a melody feels like something I haven't heard before, usually in a chorus, that's sort of, I think, when I'm just messing around upstairs at the studio, that'll be what I focus on.
You're
first.
Really good at that as well, though. In the room, sometimes you will just, I notice sometimes you'll just kind of back away a bit from what's going on, and then you'll hear something that we don't realize is even remotely good and go, that's the best thing we've done all day.
You almost pull out
for a moment of writing, and you almost go into a producer role for a second, and you're able to like see what you've been involved in writing, but not like you wrote it.
But also pick out melodies that we would never sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the songs. Those are songs that I will hear that come on shuffle or something that give me like goosebumps, that I wasn't expecting a melody to do that. Or what happened recently? There was a new Blink song did it on it was a bonus song, I think, or like deluxe version on the new album, called Lifeline, I think, or Cut Me Off. And the chorus does something that I would have never thought of, that I was like, holy crap and just had it on repeat for a few days. And then, because I think I'm a little bit weaker with lyrics, I'll know the feeling and the intent, but that's where I'll need help, like, executing. I'll have, like, one line or something, and I know that it's an angry song or a celebration of playing live music or something, and that's when I'm like, Steve, Danny.
One of my favorite things is if somebody has a line, I think I'm just saying what I'm good at now, not my favorite thing, but I think I'm quite good. If somebody says something, very quickly I get the next part, and I really love that, like, because I love lyrics. And if somebody's got an idea, I can very quickly make it, like, I don't want to say poetic because that sounds a bit like a dick, but poetic.
Like, no, that's true. That's true. Like God of Rock and Roll is a good example that on Power to Play started with the feeling, really. We were messing around with a different idea and was messing around with an organ and came up with the ending first and just those lines repeating. Like, oh, it's like a chant. Like, and we started talking like, oh yeah, like going to a gig's like going to church. Like, everyone's there together celebrating music. Like, how amazing is that? And then that's when you took that bit that we wrote and then started riffing on like what the rest of the song should be. And then you were coming up stairs with lyrics.
Like, when Danny's notorious for sneaking up, and we were working really hard. And you've been to the studio, yeah. So we were upstairs, and we'd been kind of going at it for a while. We had the end part, and we were, what is the rest of this? And we were playing these chords and like singing at each other, like, where would the chorus go? It's really weird now. I don't want to feel like I'm Paul McCartney and Get Back, but like, now we know the song. But like, then we didn't know that it went, the devil turned the left. And we just hit on that bit, and then you scared us to death coming up and made us forget it, but you'd heard it and went, I know what it is, and then you kind of improved it. But that was a perfect example.
Well, I thought it was something else.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of how these things happen. You scared us, we forgot it, you thought it was something else, which was a bit better.
And that's, then you went, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then it didn't even change again from like Buzzy's kid thinking. Yeah. Buzzy's kid. Tom's kid thought it was like, oh, I thought it was something else.
And then I don't know what that is, because the lyric I wrote, that lyric there was, the devil turned the heavens to 11 and he sang, hell yeah, you
yeah,
and.
Yeah.
And I was being all more like how I am, a bit more like the devil turned the heavens. But Buzz went, the devil turned the level. And that's so much more like,
but that makes more sense.
Singable.
Yeah.
Whereas I was trying to be more like, yeah, well, the devil turned the heavens, like, but that literally made it more like got the word, like universal to like a crowd singing it, which is what we were going to church. That was a whole thing. And
That's actually a good point, actually, with writing. It's like trying to get back into that mindset of being a kid.
It really again. Is.
And you're just playing and just having like
it's a weird
fun with it.
Thing what we do.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's what it's kids do. Yeah. You just make shit up,
and you try. Yeah, and it's like, but we do that like as a thing where at the end of it, you and just kind of coming full circle. My favorite thing on earth right now is the fact that every night I get to go on stage with you guys and play a song that is the first note and riff that I ever sat down with you guys.
And we get to do the headbang that I first ever met you with.
Yeah.
I handed Steve a guitar, I was like, go on then. And then he just sat going, okay.
It was nerves as well.
We get to repeat that every night.
Yeah, and it's so...
That's the reason I get headaches on stage, because after that, my neck...
You know what, also, really, I'm going to pull you up. I've noticed you've reduced your about a headbang.
Yeah, mate, because my neck.
After that, I've got red. Forever's not enough. And honey, I'm home.
You can't handle it.
In a row.
Yeah, and trying to get into the crowd for Red, I've seen it's been hard. Like, yeah, James, so I've seen James trying to get you through some of those crowds.
I imagine.
Last night, and I think I did this right, I didn't, because I was trying to read your body language, but I was told, milk it more when I go off because it's going to be harder for you to get in the crowd.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm thinking of. Why don't we come up with an idea tonight? It's last night. Last night of the tour. Why don't we come up with an idea of doing something different? You know, like, you see these, like, why don't we go and buy like a blow up boat from Argos or something?
Get in it.
Sing over the crowd on a boat or something tonight.
That'd be cool.
I'm totally down for you doing that.
Or should I just crowd surf tonight? Something different from
that. I like the boat.
You like the boat? Blow up boat from Argos.
Yeah.
Is there an Argos nearby?
Probably.
And what I'm hoping is that you'll get sent to an area where there isn't anyone and you'll just collapse in the boat. Your boat will sink.
To be honest, there's definitely people everywhere.
What about a paddleboard? And I'm pretending to paddleboard.
I think
while singing Red.
If you want a different distraction, I can go up and pretend to mime. So they think someone's on the stage and then you're in the crowd.
That's we could a fucking David Blaine this shit.
David Blaine. I'm happy to.
I should go up on the balcony tonight.
Whatever.
Yeah. Balcony would be cool.
Something different. I feel like since the last night, you know, everyone. Because what I've noticed is.
They know now.
They know where I'm going to go. And all the boys and that call me Mush, right? Mushy. So they start.
I still don't know why that.
They start calling it the Mush Pit.
Which is great.
But so all like the hardcore fans know where I'm going to be. And I'm like, I know why you're standing there.
I think you should do the thing tonight if you can't get anything, which we talked about me doing coming on to Shine On, but I'm too scared to mess it up for you. But because I was going to come on someone's shoulders from front of house playing the riff, but I'm too scared to do it. I don't know. But you could maybe just do that. Go shoulders, appear on the back of the room,
red light on your
shoulders, and just go round.
Quite cool.
But if you don't do it, I'll do it.
Well, you do it and I'll do it and I'll just be
we'll
copying you.
We'll all do it.
We just come up with an idea of something just fun for Red, because I'm a free. I'm like you.
You're
free.
You go rogue.
Because it's the last night, like super rogue.
Just while we're on an actual podcast that's getting recorded and going to be live, how do you feel about like end of tour stuff, like last song, like if the stage got invaded and stuff by the band, or is that like a no-no?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I don't know, because it was mentioned last night.
Well, now it's not an invasion, is it? We know it's happening.
No, you don't know where we're coming from.
Or how?
You don't know if we're swinging down from there. No, it's not actually anything planned. You made me think now, like, here's the end of the tour, like... Maybe something needs to happen. Look at the fear. Can we kick off the tour? This has gone too far. No, my idea tonight, every night I walk out to do their track, while Danny and Tom are doing All About You, the absolute comedy geniuses of Doug and Harry and James, tour manager, always, as I walk down with the guitar pumped, to go, oh, did we not tell you? No, you're not on tonight. Every night, I mean, it never gets old. But I was thinking tonight, that I just wouldn't come. Old.
Oh, God.
Tonight,
yeah,
I just won't turn up. And then we'll freak out. Yeah, I start the song as well.
You liked my one the other night, didn't you?
He just wants to tell you about this. It wasn't good.
What do you mean? You even came up to me and congratulated me on that one.
No, but it was also mean. Because I took it as like, oh, Danny's seen me and he's coming over during the before I come on to go, come on, mate, let's have a good one. And he just took a thing out of his pocket and it was his middle finger.
I just thought it was a moment of being like, I was like, mate, Steve, quick, there's something happening.
This is on stage.
Just get out of my bucket.
God.
Such deflation. I was pumped ready to come on and then I was just hit hard with
your face was panicking though. You looked and you were like,
yeah, because I thought, like, you know, you're notorious for, you know, having perfection on stage. I thought he's coming out to say something like, dude, you need to do this tonight because I've got this. And I'm like, what's he want? And Jimmy, our tech, thanks for going, what's he coming over for?
Major world panic. Love it.
You gotta keep you on the toes on the tour, yeah, I guess. Well, guys, thank you so much
for taking the time, dude. Love being on your podcast.
I really appreciate you guys doing this, especially with Sean not being able to make it and being ill.
Send our best to Sean.
We'll do. Yeah. But guys, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time. Always appreciate talking to you guys and super excited for the show tonight. So
thank you very much. Thank you.
You're listening to Sapping Podcast!
Yes!
Woo!
I love all of those people individually, including yourself, before you ask.
Oh, that's cute. Thank you.
It's Christmas, isn't it? It's Christmas.
On behalf of me and my new best friends, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. I can't believe you're claiming that. That's awesome. Brilliant, yeah. Well, you know, me and my side quest writing buddies. Oh, I got an idea, side quest, if you listen to this. Give fucking Sean a bat. Let me come up and fucking write some songs to do. Some of the best Blackout hooks came out of my head. I might not be a great singer, but fucking boy, can I write / steal a ditty? Fucking hell. Check me out, bet.
Ooh, that would be fucking interesting. But no, honestly, I think this was one of the best, like,
times in my professional life getting to sit down with these three and just shoot shit about songwriting everything. I didn't know. It was a really nice day. Really nice day. It was just full of surreal moments. As well. I was glad you weren't there, Sean.
It was the least
favorite compared to the rest with you, obviously, you know. Digging deeper. No, but there was just a lot of surreal moments for me. We mentioned being on the back of the drum kit and everything, but their team literally made me feel like I was part of the gang for that day, and it was
you
so
had a
surreal.
Writer, didn't you?
I had a home writer. Right. James Hill, I love you to bits. Thank you so much. He gave me a crate of J2Os in this
restroom.
How much
did they go for each? Yeah. Do you take them outside and sell them? That's the thing.
I couldn't, and you're going to fucking have a go at me for this. I couldn't open them because they had the screws on and I couldn't, I didn't have a bottle opener. And you use your teeth.
So you left them in the fridge.
Yeah.
You bought them especially, right? That came out of McFly's money, right? Danny Jones has literally gone out of his pocket. Here's a fucking tenner, get Morgan some juices, and you've gone, there's no way I could possibly find a way to open these fucking bottles in this massive venue where they've also got a bar. There's nothing you could think of to do.
No.
Apologies, guys. Apologies. listen, if you invite me to come and write some songs, don't get me J2O. You don't even need to get me J2O. And if you do, I'll make a point of drinking it.
But as well as that, I mean, Danny offered me catering as well. I felt like I was like...
I thought you were going to say ketamine.
No, far from it.
Do you know what? I'd love to see Danny Jones on ketamine.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
It'd
be fucking brilliant. I love him.
They then took me onto the stage where we had professional photos done, which you'll be able to see on the Instagram at SappinPod this week.
Unbelievable.
I was on the drum kit. Danny's next to me chewing his guitar. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here and everything. Really nice time. Really nice evening. Good laugh.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the actual gig. I'm sure some of you might have seen this on my Instagram. There's a part during the set where they play their song Red and Danny goes into the crowd. He saw me on his walk, stopped, gave me a massive hug, and it was just a really funny moment. And our good friend and Patreon, Emily Perry, got it on film. So I've posted that everywhere, of course, and I've had some really lovely messages.
You do look Christmas happy in that moment.
Just
it was lovely.
Lovely. Full circle moment.
Again, sad I wasn't there, because I definitely probably would have spoiled that moment. Wow, Dan, wow, I'm here! Wow, don't go and get more. Give me another game, man. You can't see me, but I'm poking my chest out and I'm putting my arms behind me. Like I'm doing a Naruto run, technically.
Naruto run. Wow, what a quote.
But no, it was lovely to see. It was lovely to see. And again, thank you very much to the McFly boys and Stephen Battelle and James Hill for looking after my previously not mentioned friend, Morgan Richard, who is actually my friend. So.
Aww. Love you, Sean. Love you.
Okay. I think we can leave that in.
It's quote from Community. There we are.
There you go.
Shout out to Emily and Mitch Perry for letting me stay with them. Shout out to James Hill again. Of course, Lost Alone will be touring across the UK on a headline run in March. You head over to their website to check the details and dates and get down to a show to get your face absolutely melted off with riffs, and it's just nice to see all the side quest adventures having their music now released. The new Noah Finch track is going to be incredible. That's going to be coming out on this debut album, and there is a single from Lou now that you can go and listen and just embrace with everything. So very nice time going on in the world of Lost Alone, McFly and side quest.
I've just realized with Emily Perry and Mitch Perry being Patreon members, technically They've had now one of the top tiers. So I think it was 20 grand and we will come and stay with you for a week.
Mm.
You had one of us for a night. Let's divide that by seven.
Oh God, quick math here.
20. Anyway, they owe us, I'm saying, tell you what, I'll do it for 2 grand, right? They owe us 2 grand for letting you stay with them. Even though we've all been friends for years prior to this. I'm very, very sorry to say, and it was absolutely lovely of them to look after you, but they do owe us 2 grand, so we will be coming around just on Christmas Eve to collect the money.
Ah, back the invoice in person. But speaking of a wonderful Patreon community, if you head to the description of this episode and all episodes, there is loads of names there that we'd like to thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of patreon.com/sapnin.
Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, she changed it from Lee away. Mayumi, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Scarlett Charton, Dilly Califagilistic, XBL Grimwood, Mitch Perry, owes us a grand. Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Irwin, Emma Barber, TPSW Owens, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pemblinton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Sean Fines, M. Evans Roberts, Evan, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Osas Grant, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Gospel Parcel, Josh, what happened to the man who stole an advent calendar? He got 25 days crisp. Doesn't really make sense, does it? Thank you very much, Vicky, Kyle Bounty, chocolate fan David Smith. Also, can I give a shout out to I Can't Die, Kyle's band, who got played by the lovely, lovely Alex Baker on Kerrang Radio the other day. It's nice to see things happening for that band. Check them out now. They've got an EP called Errors, which is class. And last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to everyone there. Everyone in the description. Anyone who's ever been part of the Patreon, thank you very much. If you're thinking about becoming part of the Patreon, do it. Come on. What's wrong with you? Do it. That's Donald Trump telling you to do it.
Patreon.com/sapnin. We're all going to be doing a massive festive Zoom party on the 21st of December as well. So if you want to get involved, that was the best time to do it and the best way to support this podcast. But that's about it for this week. I've really enjoyed it. It's, again, being a personal favorite. It would have been better if Sean was there, but this is why we can't have nice things, as you sing sometimes.
Is it x.com/sapnin now? I've never even used that. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
While Twitter still exists, at Sapnin Pod on Twitter while it still exists. I don't think it's going to last much longer with that fucking maniac in charge, but hey, whatever. He can afford to keep it going, but he won't, and he'll blame other people for not keeping it going. What a guy. What a fucking guy. He's doing it for the sake of free speech, but he really needs you to pay him to keep it going. Weird, isn't it? It's almost like it's not free. Anyway, Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I hope he's not fucking listening.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.